Today, I sat down with Nick Kaplan to debrief from NRF 2026 in New York City. Nick is an experienced retail entrepreneur, consultant, partner, and most importantly, friend. The result was a 25-minute webinar that we recorded and hosted to a live audience, which we're going to replay here. What I appreciate most about our effort is that we put together three key takeaways. Our first takeaway is that we find many brands are confused at NRF at a large trade show floor, and everyone there is promising the same thing, agentic commerce in a box. What does agentic commerce even mean? What's that box? What outcomes does it produce? What can you promise? All of these things are not clear, and so it's incredibly confusing. Brands, we feel for you. Second, while it's difficult to separate the signal from the noise, Nick points out a few incredibly helpful experiences in the Innovation Hub in particular, where true startups go to learn more and build their product. One in particular that sounded promising was a startup called Marpipe. Marpipe helps you optimize your product feed to generate dynamic product ads. Finally, we end on why both brands and vendors need to have a little more patience as the market works through this confusion over the next 6 months. Just as brands are confused, vendors are struggling just as much to break through the noise in a world where OpenAI and Google are doing sometimes as much as 5 to 6 press releases a week, it seems like. Who can keep pace? As always, Nick and I try to keep the conversation short and to the point so you can get on with your day. If you find conversations like this helpful, make sure you're following the show so you don't miss future episodes. Also, if you're not following our newsletter, check that out at www.watsonweekly.com.
You know, it's funny, NRF wasn't the frozen tundra that it normally is, but since then, we've made up and then some.
Yeah, 100%. It's gotten like 1 degree is not a temperature, yet it is.
I mean, I looked this morning, I had a contest with my daughter. I'm like, what do you think the temperature is and the feels like? And it, I think, was so cold, there was no feels like. It's 4 degrees.
That's a bad news. So what are we here for? We're here to talk about NRF. We had a big event, a live recording of the podcast that we were happy to do, and you were the big MC.
I mean, I've always had visions of being an MC, and it did not disappoint. You guys, you and Jess were easy. The panel was great. It was easy to keep it moving. It was a phenomenal event, and I'm super happy that we recorded it so the people that weren't able to be at NRF who are going to listen today to hear about some of what they missed will see that event, which was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. We are excited. So let's get into some of the slides that we're going to talk about. We're going to recap NRF. First of all, thank you so much to the sponsors of this webinar, Avalara Tax Solution, used all over the world by the biggest, some of the biggest and the smallest companies. It's built into a lot of platforms natively. You might even be a customer without you knowing it.
They are the OGs of taxes, which I think so few people really understand, like the complexity. Yeah. So you got to have yourselves covered.
They're so good at what they do that you can have a booth shaped like the Great Pumpkin from Snoopy and Peanuts, and people still buy their product. So good. So thank you, Avalara. Freshmint is an event B2B solution. If you are a SaaS vendor looking to help you schedule, run, manage your events, check them out. And happy to have them sponsor the show. In terms of the event itself that we held, it was January 11th on Sunday, right before NRF. We have a few choice highlights from it. Do you have the mindset to make it happen? Embrace the fear. So that was exciting. We were oversubscribed. Apologies to friends that were not able to make it in the door. We will make better accommodations next time, but we did not anticipate the demand, which is, I guess, filed that under good problems.
High class.
Yeah, it's a high class problem. Thanks so much again. Wanted to start out our recap talking a little bit about some of the things just in the last couple of years. We follow, obviously, the future of commerce, but also we track the past of commerce, like where we've come from. This is one of the slides in the keynote that I gave at the presentation, which you're going to be able to find on YouTube. We're going to send you a full recap of it. Starting out with like 95, who was there? Like Amazon and not many other people, right? The age of presence, sort of show up, hopefully get some eyeballs, and sell out before the cash runs out. Sound familiar?
Right. It does. I live those days, and I'm here to tell about it.
Right. Then coming in, you know, we've talked about the age of efficiency. Last year was certainly a year of efficiency, but Amazon really was the model for 2006 through 2016, which is like faster shipments, lower costs per parcel, rising cost to acquire customers. If you can find CAC arbitrage and make your math work.
It's a big arbitrage is a big, big term those days, right? That and black hat SEO, ooh, the days of, right?
So yeah, can but you those still days, do black hat?
You cannot still do black hat SEO.
Yeah, Google crushes you. I would like to see a black hat LLM.
I mean, it probably exists, but the people now are smart enough not to talk about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Followed up by the age of social. I mean, I like to say, and then we talk about a lot, that the modern brand is a media company.
For sure.
Why is that in your view?
I think that one other thing we talk about a lot is you can trade in
trust
or you can trade in
price,
and you cannot trade in price. And so I think that a way to connect and build communities is through media, which in the world of the TikTokifying and the short form video, your ability to sort of put your message, your brand out there is everything. And so the social commerce and brand as media is real.
Yeah, it's definitely real. And so as we transition out of, I mean, ironically, COVID as a once in a century, it seemingly, or century and a half event seemed to accelerate it. I don't want to make it come again sooner than it is. Like, thanks for catching me there, Nick.
It's like the every 10 years, right, it's a once in a lifetime storm, but wait.
Right, exactly. Here comes another one.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you just ask the news, like, what's going to happen next? The pandemic just turbocharged e-com. So it wasn't a negative for e-com. It was obviously a negative for retail, at least for a year and a half. But it came out fine as well. We're entering a new era that, you know, what we're calling the age of intelligence, which is really AI is going to become this intelligence leader. We're not just asking brands to respond to demand. You have to be able to predict, anticipate demand, predict it so that you can create demand and then serve it.
Exactly. I mean, one thing I sort of talk about frequently is the transformation of supply managers to demand generators, and supply equates to inventory, and demand is our ability to sort of sell that inventory and convert it to cash. And so we used to just make a bunch of stuff and then tell our marketers and these bifurcated orgs to sell it. Today, we can actually use all of the signals to aggregate and probabilistically determine what our ability to sell inventory is. And then
I like probabilistic. That was, it was over my head a little bit there now.
I don't know, but it is true, right? And we can then say, look, there may be an opportunity cost, which is another high class problem of not having sales versus the detriment and destruction of inventory liquidation. And so I totally agree with you and think that it's so readily available to us today. And it's something that will come into this conversation a bit.
Yeah, it definitely. It seemed to be a big theme of NRF. And if we're kind of kick off the show, you know, we have three or four takeaways that we're going to talk through in the show. And I'll stick on with like the brand takeaway. Like everyone comes to NRF with a different point of view, the brand, the vendor, you know, the you know, whoever's sponsoring the show, et cetera. But the brand themselves, I found it, like, if I were just sort of, I put my brand hat on for a second, it's very hard to separate the signal from the noise. Meaning, like, if every booth says agentic, it's almost like no booth says agentic.
Yes, I agree completely. We as an industry are very fad kind of related and oriented. And so there was really not a booth that didn't have either AI, agentic, or both. Right. And certainly if it wasn't something on the booth, it was something being talked about in the booth.
Yeah. And I think if, as far as takeaways for brands, like my personal takeaway and advice for brands is, like, you know, kind of the old Russian term that Ronald Reagan borrowed, trust but verify. Meaning, like, here's a claim. Okay, don't just tell me, but show me. Give me the references. Give me the metrics. Give me the data. Give me the case studies. How can I? We're at this point where everyone is just saying, oh, we now support the protocol.
Right.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked a little bit post the show and a little bit before this show about buying on the come versus buying on the now. And I do think that technology is sort of, you know, it's a cruise ship. And so it's a never sort of not moving target of where a product is going versus mm-hmm. where it is and how it actually benefits you. And, you know, friend of the show, I've said this many times, and friend of ours, Mike Relic, said to me once, which I use this all the time, is I bought a whole lot of software from very few people. Right. And so I think that we trade on our relationships, right, not necessarily on, you know, what it is exactly we need and exactly what problem that serves and solves for us. And so I do felt the show, there was a lot of glitter, there was a lot of glamour, but I don't know that there was a lot of, like, oomph.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think that's right. And I also think I don't want you to take the advice too seriously to some respect, because a lot of this is still experimental from brands that spent all of last year downsizing their personnel, optimizing their media spend, meaning, like, cutting a lot of low performing terms, shifting their channel mix, you know, finding a cheaper agency, all these things. And now they're getting into this sort of agentic budgets. It's okay to have an experimentation budget. It's okay if a lot of these experiments fail.
It is, but I think
I was
that
for the but.
The experimenting with you know, a product or service on the operating side is one thing. Technology investments, as we're well aware, in certain ecosystems can be quite costly. Mm. And I do think that while I agree with you in the respect of, you know, failure is not failure. Failure can be success. Mm-hmm. Just it has to be fast failure, right, and non sort of stagnating failure.
Right. Yeah. So, not failure that, like, you launch this thing, you plug it into your store, and then you forget about it for a year. And you're like, oh, whatever happened to that thing? Like, oh, no one uses it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And I've never seen that before.
Well, I think what ends up happening inside of most organizations is that people feel pressure. It's totally understandable. Right. It's normal. And their solutions are to find a solution that will effectively save their job. And the reality is that it's not the case. And I think that we're often very trusting as a result.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's interesting for the brand side. That's kind of our takeaways from Shop Talk. The show floor point of view, I didn't get to go. I went to the show floor, but I just felt like a little overwhelmed. I feel like you really got to, like, dive into certain areas of the show floor. I'd love to hear some of your take.
So NRF is just massive, right?
For those
that don't go, it's a wonderful and a challenging show at the same time. It's certainly not walk it in a day. It'd certainly be very selective. But I did have a chance to walk through. I found a couple of sections really interesting. Mm. You know, I think that Israel always partners, as does France, with the show and creates a section. So those were interesting to me. But I found the most interesting section, which is a little bit sort of obvious, but isn't always the case, was the Innovation Hub. Uh-huh.
Tell the audience, what is the Innovation Hub?
So the Innovation Hub, it's always in this, it's like the Javits Center is just massive, right? I mean, it's huge and it's beautiful and it's got light. So you go in and you kind of go all the way around, but you go up to the third floor, what they call the River Pavilion. And as you go through to a gigantic room where there's events is this Innovation Hub that's like it's a hall. And so in it are companies that qualify to be there and they're kind of, you know, meet the standard of like innovation. And so in it were the first time I ever saw Narvar was there.
So interesting.
And he was like one person in a booth that probably was like a little bit
wider. It's hard to remember that time.
Exactly. And so that is not necessarily like totally needle in a haystack, but that is kind of like what happens, right? You start small and you grow. So I found what was so fascinating to me about the Innovation Hub this year was the application of products that really solved problems. They were not these like theoretical, like I can, it's like, we're actually doing this. And so there was one solution called BarPipe that I thought was interesting in the sense, like they're taking your product catalog, your feed, which is really important. I think we all put some emphasis on our product feed and they're taking that imagery and they're converting into like lifestyle, really like zhuzhed, beautiful ads that you're no longer like, wait a minute, I need to make a still image. I need to make
so many different variants.
Exactly. And so, you know, this is
MarPipe.
Uh-huh. And, you know, Pipe 17, our friends were in there. I think that, you know, that's definitive of like solving a problem, right? Which is the ability to sell in a lot of places, having inventory in many places and being able to be far more efficient with far less. And to me, that was like, as we talk about MarPipe and the ability to sort of be more, I like this word, like efficient or automatic. It's like what is happening is the ability to be like business in a box.
Yeah.
Like I could start a business and I could actually have an inventory supply, right? Find it. And I could take that inventory and I could sell it in 20 places. I could have it in two distribution centers on the East and West Coast. I could have images taken and then convert those into beautiful DABA ads for paid social or paid search terms could be done. It's all there for me as an individual. And that to me was like what I walked out of Innovation Hub was like, the barriers to entry are lowering. And so I also saw there was another a product called Athena. And they're essentially like a PLM. Did you see it?
I did not see Athena, no.
So Athena, like, again, the other thing too about agentic and AI, and it's like so buzzy, but what I've said before, and you've said it as well, which is we're in this age where we have this ability for supercomputing, which is to say, it's not going to necessarily today, right? Be autonomous, which we're going to talk about, right? Versus assisting, but it can take what I need and it can just put it together really quickly and help me get to a decision point. So here is something that takes all my PLM components, brings them together, makes them efficient, and then I can then take that into my catalog. And everyone here knows how unruly your product catalog can be.
And PLM, people are talking about product lifecycle management, which is sort of like the upstream supply chain.
Totally.
For like, how do you manufacture goods? What's going to happen next season, how that comes down the pipe.
The non-sexy stuff that is...
You so, love that stuff.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to always be a Garmento, right? I mean, I was born
Sixth
a Garmento.
Sixth Avenue. Just, you're going to head to lunch there after this.
Right. For those who don't know, it's like we're like right there. So, but you know, I think you said that upstream efficiency.
Yeah.
Right? I think that it's now sort of kind of coming together. And so in the Innovation Hub were solutions that readily available to people to solve today's problems versus a futuristic, like in the future, we'll be able to do these incredible things. So to me, that's what I saw.
There are so many brands out there that are still planning their seasons 18 months out the same way that they did a decade ago.
And we've talked about this too, which is the supply chain is the one thing that's really hard to change, right? Yeah. It is ripe for disruption, but look, for many different reasons, when it's not a service, it's a product, you have to take the raw materials. Those come from different places, get them to where they're manufactured, manufacture them. Then you've got to start to move them, which right. I think the consumer...
Get samples, approve the samples.
Oh, that's like a whole... Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's even like even further out, right?
Right.
And it's like how they approve the samples and who approves samples. And I totally agree. But again, I think that that's what... That, I think, actually can be improved.
Yeah, and I think like when we talk about this stuff, these things become fossilized because not only are there just 10 steps in the process normally, but each step becomes a department that has a leader, and each department wants their own separate software. Half the time it's custom.
Right.
And so it's basically like cast in concrete,
right,
the process. And now we're in the situation where these brands, whether on Shopify or anything else, they're just coming up and you're like, boom, we need to get to market fast. They don't have that legacy baggage.
Oh, yeah, totally. And by the way, it's like raise your hand if you are incentivized to ever work yourself out of a job or give up part of your team.
Zero people are.
Or raise your hand if you're willing to kind of get 70 to 80% of what you want, but have far more efficiency. And the answer is no. And so I think that that is what this new crop of products is effectively doing, which is like, why would I need a whole department to do what was done if I am willing to alter my process and use a new product to get a high percentage of what I want?
No, for sure.
So,
in terms of our next takeaway, if you're a vendor at Shopify, which I know there are a lot of vendors in the audience, my takeaway is that patience is required. I mean, there's sort of like two sides to this message from my point of view. Number one is like, take heart. Like, buyers are as confused as you are. So don't worry so much if you don't have everything figured out, because everyone's trying to figure this out at the same time. And kind of following on that, I kind of feel like in 6 months, a lot of this will make a lot more sense. Meaning like OpenAI just got another like, what is it, like $30 billion investment in the last week after getting another $30 billion last year? I mean, this is...
Too big to fail.
It's insane.
What do you think though about the notion of the moving target and how that informs, right? Which is, you know, when it's like budgets, investments, returns, but like on a moving sliding scale.
Yeah. I mean, what I think is you have to look, you have to place some bets, as you know. If you're going to move the needle in a big way, you have to place asymmetric bets.
100%.
Meaning that you can't just say like, oh, I'm going to try to grow 2% faster than last year. It's like the fastest road to death.
Right.
And so you have to take some big swings in an area where the future is unknown. And so the prize in the short term, I think, will not always be revenue, because these channels are still experimental. The prize will be learning.
Right.
Like, you'll be learning faster than everyone else. And so I think that's, to me, the takeaway from a brand side. From a vendor side, every vendor I talk to is like, how do I cut through this noise? How do I compete with 10 agentic announcements from Google, OpenAI a day? If I say I'm agentic, like, here's the situation. Like, don't just say you're agentic. Like, talk about the freaking outcomes.
Right.
That you're delivering.
So interesting. There was a Page Gates in the news yesterday with like their, I guess, the $35 million raise in their agentic product. And in our world, school related, my wife was telling me about a shopping agent someone had been developing a few months ago. And I sent it to Yesha. I'm like, everybody is developing a shopping agent.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, it's not uncommon any longer.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Finally, like, wanted to talk a little bit about adaptability at our event. You talked a lot about the adaptability quotient. I mentioned it just in terms of like, you can't be big and be slow. That's like the worst quadrant to be in. And sort of the 2x2 matrix here.
Yeah. We've talked about this, and it's certainly a hallmark for me. The measure of a person's sort of intelligence is no longer, in my eyes, like, it's not your IQ and it's not your EQ, and there's this now AQ term. And so certainly in business, the ability to adapt to the environment that's ever changing around you is an incredibly important skill for any leader or organization to have. So the question becomes, and this goes to now, and you know, I'll turn it back to you about what you talked about, which I thought regarding like David and Goliath and what one needs to do to be successful now. But I felt that this is something to ask yourself, which is like, how adaptable am I? Yeah. Because I don't think people do that.
Yeah, I definitely don't think people do that. Actually, they tend to do the opposite of that, which is like, TTWADI. Right. Like, that's the way we've always done it. Right. It's like literally,
you know, all our time together, we've come up with like some pretty decent expressions.
I love it.
So, but totally, yeah. Totally.
I think that makes a lot of sense. One last meta takeaway from this entire event, I say, is like, humans beware. I mean, we thought in the last 10 years that retail e-commerce roles have been whittled down. We've seen sort of the hollowing out of middle management. We've seen roles downgraded. VPs become directors. Directors become senior managers. Senior managers, like, it's just like C-suite and individual contributor and increasingly outsourced individual contributor.
Yeah. Even the C-suite, I think, you know, it's like, why... If I was starting an organization, I would have a, you know, my senior people would be VPs, and then I'd sort of have, you know, people to help execute my vision.
Yeah.
So obviously there are these like super complex businesses, these legacy businesses like a Walmart that needs that. But
yeah, Amazon, Walmart, Shopify, all these companies are saying increasingly, you cannot open a role unless you can prove to me that AI can't do the job. And so it's like beyond just like, oh, can we make this 5 to 10% more efficient? Like, no. Like, just the hires aren't coming.
Yeah, creep is a real thing. I think we as a species have this tendency to think about what we don't have versus what we have. And so I don't think that AI is going to, you know, I think people have these visions of robots coming, like in our picture, to come take your job. And that's not it. What AI is doing is it's forcing us to think differently, be more sort of efficient in our process development and be willing to bend and be more adaptable.
Yeah, adaptable and bold, really.
Yeah.
Which is, how are we ensuring that you're taking bold moves in 2026 to really...
I love this slide.
Improve your business. Yeah, this was a pretty cool visual from my keynote. These slides were off the chain. Thanks, Vinny, for helping us with those.
So good.
But so good. And David, Goliath, like, get out of your chains, like, start moving. That's what we're excited about. So we leave you with this kind of final take, and kind of like, this has been a lot of fun. If you enjoy thus subscribed, we have a newsletter. You have to be listening to it, right? You have to be reading the podcast, all the thing. WatsonWeekly.com. This has been fun.
It has been fun. So hopefully people take something away from this, which is our theme of the event.
Cool. So we appreciate it. Thanks, Ron. Yeah. Remember the link.
That's always good.
So appreciate everyone, guys. It's been great. Thanks again. Thanks, Scott, for coming on. I actually just had lunch with Scott Lux yesterday.
Good person.
Great guy. Great human. And appreciate everyone for coming out to the webinar.
High five.
Thank you, sir.